This interview is being conducted for Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium Sewer Upgrades in Fort Yukon, Alaska, 2012. The interviewer is Sarah Corbin. Margaret Roberts is being interviewed in Fort Yukon on November 13th, 2012. If you could tell me about some of the materials that you use and that people in Fort Yukon would have commonly used for sewing, some of the furs or different types of skins, that sort of thing, here in Fort Yukon.
Well, I think there's lots of people and lots of women, I should say, in Fort Yukon that don't have all the material that they need to sew with. So just soon it's snow, everybody want hat, canvas boots or mitten, things like that. And then lots of these old people are dying off, you know. So some of these girls I know, they do good beadwork. And I asked them, what's your sewing now? Nothing, she said. Because she said she don't have the stuff she need. I think that's the trouble with these women.
Where do you get your resources? Where do you get the furs and the skins?
I get mine from, well, my husband and I went down Anchorage last winter. And he bought me all kinds of fur at this one shop. Got some... He got me skin, fisher skin. Fisher skin is fur I use for a hat. And thread and everything that I need, you know, like dental floss. You know, this dental floss supposed to be for your teeth. And my father, one time he was working on the railroad. He know my mother so lot, so he got some for her sample. And that's how we start using dental floss. Before that, I think they make sinew out of moose backbone. I don't know. They get that thing from the moose or caribou, and they make their own sinew. I think I even got some. My mother gave me some, and I got it someplace. I never used it. I just, you know, got it for souvenir.
How about when you were growing up, where did people get their materials? Did you still get your materials from Anchorage, or did you buy furs from trappers here in Fort Yukon?
When I was growing up, We were living out in the woods all the time. Like I said, my mother tanned the skin, and then I think she used caribou skin too. You know, she have to tan it. She have to tan caribou skin. She make it nice and white. She make parka with it for us. And she even make just like snow globe pants. I'll show you what I mean. Somebody gave me fur deer skin tan already. And sometimes don't turn out and she throw that away, and I was gonna show you something. Oh, I told my mother, I wanna make slipper, I said. So she cut something out for me like this. Yeah, this is the one Sammy tanned because Solvedist made it nice and white. And she drew flour on it for me. It took me but one whole month, no wonder. All my other sisters sew and they sew real fast, you know. Me, I'm just a slowpoke. And when we're ready to come down in May or something like that, that tongue is still there. So I don't think I ever finish it. But then when we started going to school here, they were teaching us how to sew beads too. They had these two women, one of Annie James, the other one Hannah, my mother-in-law. They were teaching us how to sew beads.
What school was that?
Territory school. They had that old territory school down there.
Where the pump house is now?
Huh?
Or is it the one where the pump house?
No, it's way down. It burned down.
Okay.
And there's one territory school down here on that site. Mm. My two brothers went there. Yeah, they used to teach us how to sew at that school they had. This one, they call it territory school. They have another school down there. A&S school or something. That's where they try to teach us how to sew. And they make this little bookmark. These couple ladies come to school and teach us how to sew every day. And may I try to make bookmark? They said anything we want to make. And the bookmark is like this. It's kind of white, a little whiter, I guess. And I got to make flak on it. And this, they told me to sew this beads down first. I think I ripped that thing off about 3-4 times. They said it's not straight enough.
Your flagpole wasn't straight enough?
No. I don't know. I don't really know what happened at the end. Did I finish it or? I know I had to put the flak on it, so. But then, you know, those other girls, they sew different stuff.
Were the women who taught you to sew, were they white school teachers or were they
native
women?
Yeah, gotta be native because they know what they're doing because they're old and teach us how to sew.
How old were you when you were making this bookmark?
Maybe around 12 or 13. I try so hard, I try to make it straight, but it didn't work out that way, so I think I just gave up with it. I don't know what happened.
You told me that you lived up, your family lived up for a time. Did you live on the Salmon River?
Uh-huh. Xinjiang, call it.
Up in Xinjiang?
Uh-huh. 30 mile up.
Mm-hmm. And how long did you live there for?
All our life.
All your life?
Uh-huh.
But, so when did you come to Fort Yukon? Just during the school year?
You know, we didn't go to school like we should, because those days, they could keep their kids out all the time, you know? You can't do that nowadays. You get in trouble. So, sometimes you just start to go to school, you know, come to town in May like that, after all winter, and just when we start to go to school around September, I think my father get all the food we need and got boat and then go back up to the cabin. So we never really went to school like we should. It didn't bother me then, you know, but after I grew up, I could have had lots of good jobs. I still had a good job, like cooking and things like that. I never went to school for cooking. I don't think I went to school for anything. Oh yeah, I had a job with FRA or something like that. I was the first person that made tacos in Fort Yukon. They had the center up there. You know where the school on that inn? It used to be center. And they had a laundry mat, everything in there. And that was a big place. And then they remodeled and the school got it for the kids, I guess. But when they had that, my boss told me to get advertise tacos. I made 90 tacos. And that was the first tacos that was in Fort Yukon. And it was free.
Where did you learn how to make tacos?
I had to go to Fairbanks for about a couple weeks at university, then down to Anchorage. Week down there. They didn't really. How did I learn? I don't know, maybe I had a cookbook or something. But I know everything that I needed for tacos and everything. I got that when I came back and just did it. They're paying me good though. I never had no boss. And I forgot how long I worked for them. But I had to quit because, you know, people never got food stamps those days. They feed their family whatever they get. They want me to go around and visit all the home. Well, I had my own kids too. They want me to go around and visit all the home and tell the family what they should feed their kids. You know, like fresh fruit, apple and orange, banana and stuff like that. And I didn't feel right about it because they barely got enough to feed their kids, and I can't go around and tell people what they should feed their kids.
Who were you working for then?
I forgot. If at university, and then I went down to Anchorage. I forgot the name of that IRH something. I don't remember. But it was pretty good because I was my own boss. And so I told my, I just had to quit because I don't like what they told me to do. Can't go around and tell people what they should. I just told them. I told them I can't do that because No.
When you were living out in Chinjik growing up, did you help your dad trap for animals?
He have to get up early and he leave the house while everybody's sleeping. My oldest sister always help him. It's up the dogs and 6 o'clock in the morning and he pack everything he need and take off. He got the toboggan, he got straight harness, and I don't know how many dogs he had. Maybe 5 or 6, you know, and they're all strong dogs. They're not like these little skinny dogs around here. So she help him, and then he go out, and when he go out, you know, they have cabin here and there all over the place, you know, the trap line cabin. So he camp there and he trap, and then he check his trap. I forgot how often he check it. But anyway, my sister is the one that help him. We stay home with my mother, and she sew and bake bread, things like that. I gotta tell you about baking bread too. A long time ago, they got this little block of yeast. Mm-hmm. You have to soak it. Nowadays, they got powder in a jar, and she got this little yeast like this. It come in a block, and she soaked it. And she set her bread during the day, and she need that bread, you know. We got wood stove. She got this big dishpan like this. After she need that bread, she put all that dough in there and put it on chair close to the stove. And she put, you know, cover it up with dish towel. And I think sometimes she even put towel or blanket on it. Got a race during the night. The next morning, she's busy making bread. Nowadays, everything's easy. Teach him how to bake bread a couple of years ago. He make good bread.
Did you do work around the house then? You helped your mom do chores? Or did you do kitchen work or sewing? Or did you ever help her tan hides?
Like I said, you know, she tried to get us to scrape that skin, and we're too weak. I guess she wanted somebody with strong arms, so my oldest sister is the only one that could do that. And me and my younger sister, her name is Selma, and we tried to scrape, but she said, that's not the way to do it. So she got my older sister to help her. And like you said, if we help my father, you know, fall time before, after it freezes up, there's a cabin there and two little lakes back there. And my father cut down lots of wood, and he's not using chainsaw. You know those old-fashioned, what do you call it?
A cross-cutting saw that he was...
Yeah, there's a handle on both sides. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I used to hate that, because my father cut down all the trees, and then we help him, me and my sister. We cut it long enough to put it in a sled and take it down to the house, and we got sawhorse down there. And then somebody had to put it on sawhorse and cut it. I think my father was doing that because we got this big log house and the porch is big, and he piled all that. He cut it with that saw, and we help him, and big pile of wood he put in the porch. Some of them are split before he go trapping, so that way mom don't have to worry about wood, you know. I wish I took a picture of all that. Anyway, but out there when he cut down the tree, and my sister Selma and Madeline and me, but we had a couple dogs, and I always do the easy thing. Got this sled, and I got, it's up two dogs, and I bring that wood down to the house, you know, where the sawhorse is. I mean, by the house. They go like this both sides. Those old-fashioned saw.
Yeah, they didn't have no snowgo or nothing, you know, no chainsaw, nothing.
How old were you when you moved to Fort Yukon year-round?
Oh, gracious, I don't remember.
Were you still a child in school, or were you a woman, grown up?
Grown up. My older sister got married. Well, she was working in a hospital, and then she got married. And I started working in a hospital when I was 17. So I think that after that, I don't think we went back to that. Maybe for hunting, my father go there, you know. And I don't think we ever went back.
When you moved to town, did your father still do trapping, or where did your mom get her fur and hides and things to work with?
Oh, he still go out. Mm-hmm. He still go out and gotta get moose. I remember one time, winter time, he trapped. One time he come back with moose and, you know, a toboggan full of meat. My mom was there giving everybody a piece of meat. I don't see no money, just, you know. When somebody get moose, the whole town knows about it, because the town wasn't that big. So my mother cut a chunk of meat, give everybody, neighbor and everybody, meat. They don't have to buy it. So that's how it went.
And you told me that your dad sold his furs to Harry Carter?
Yeah, he's the store manager.
Mm-hmm.
He had his own store, H.E. Carter. He helped the native lots, you know. I think he had a card game going too, and what they do, they kind of trade, I think. He get the grocery he want, and he sell a fur to him. So
he'd get the groceries for the year, mm-hmm. and then
for winter time when mm-hmm. he come back, he sell his fur and get whatever we need.
Were most of your clothes and shoes did your mom make, or was your dad getting those from the store?
No, we get it from the store.
You get it from the store.
They used to have catalog, and we could order our stuff. And mom used to order COD, those stuff, you know. You got to take it out post office.
Was that from Sears or Montgomery Ward's? Or
they had this Walter Field catalog, real cheap stuff in it, but, you know, what you want is in there. So another thing, my father used to come down and sell his fur and stuff like that. One time we ran out of food. We were running out of everything. So my father came to town to get some more food. And I think 2 days we were out of everything. My mother said rabbits near. And they said those rabbits are really funny. When you got no food, you can't catch it. And we checked the snare, nothing. So she shoot those tree squirrel. You know, tree squirrel. They eat nothing but pitch. And so she shoot that. I got with them. She shoot those thing and she sent and shit and clean it and boil it. I think we had to eat that for 2 days because we were running out of meat. And my father came back from town and he had everything. One time I was in the hospital down there, down Anchorage. And winter time. And they give me a pass so I go downtown and go store. I thought I'd dress warm even that day. Like you said, that damp air just go through my clothes and it's cold.
Mm-hmm. What kind of things do you remember ordering from the catalog when you were little? Did you ever used to look at it and hope to order things? Or what kind of things do you remember looking at in the catalogs?
I don't know, just shirt and pants, socks like that, I guess.
Shoes, maybe, or
did not shoes, because no. My mom make moccasins for us. Winter time, could make canvas boots, you know. Put skin in the bottom and you use canvas. But you gotta have insole there if you wanna go out. My older sister used to go across. Who were living like this, or is that Shinjuk River? The river and our cabin's right there. Go across. It's not too far, the river. From here to the other end of this building, I guess. And other side, just bank with lots of willow in it. All along the way. My sister used to go across there and shoot grouse. Around 2 o'clock, I think, she usually go across with 410. And I always follow him. I don't know why. I didn't have no gun because I'm not old enough. But she's always shooting grouse. Right now they're real fat, you know, and sitting out there on that willow eating when their stomach is full. they fall in the snow. I know that's what they do, but she always go across there around 2 o'clock, and I follow her. I walk behind her, and for Thanksgiving, everybody eat turkey here. My mom cleaned a bunch of those house, and we have that for Thanksgiving dinner.
When your dad would get food at the store, what sort of food would he buy?
I don't know. Well, everything that we need, you know. I remember he buy this big can, like the green one, and it's this high. The whole thing is full with cookie mix. And my mom and the kids always pick Lopush berries. So we got berries, she make jam with it, and, you know, cook it, things like that. But my father always get everything we need, like flour, sugar, tea, coffee, and rice, macaroni, onion.
Did he ever get canned fruit or vegetables?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. He get canned stuff too, but I don't remember what kind.
Oil or butter? Or
yeah, we use butter. They got funny kind of butter that you have to, it come in a package and there's little yellow back with it. I don't know what they call it. I think it's butter. And you have to open the butter and put it in a bowl and sprinkle that thing, stir it up, and it turn yellow. Yeah, and he get mush and oatmeal, things like that. Popcorn. I don't think he get cake mix though, because my mom make it the old-fashioned way, you know. So, pancake flour, syrup, and stuff like that. I don't know about eggs though. But there's eggs, yeah, eggs, powder eggs. Because can take fresh eggs up there.
What about, did he ever buy commercial meat, like beef or pork or chicken?
I don't think so. Maybe he buy wieners and things like that, but I don't remember him buying steak or anything like that.
Or pork chops or none of that. So the meat you ate was mostly things that he'd caught, trapped, or hunted?
Yeah.
Or your family did?
Moose meat.
How about caribou?
Yeah, I think a couple of times he went way up. I forgot Chokichuk someplace, I guess, and got some caribou. I think he only did that twice. But mostly it's moose meat that we eat, you know? Even right now, I got no use for caribou meat because I grew up with moose meat. I like caribou ribs and caribou head, you know? But I don't really care for it.
When did you start buying materials to do sewing with, the furs and hides? Is that recent, or have you been buying these things for a long time?
You mean now? A long time ago.
Well, have you know, 20 or 30 or 40 years ago, were you buying fur, hides and fur from people, or was, you know, someone in your family providing them for you for sewing?
I think, when we were living out in the woods, I think, like my father, you know, sometimes he catch animal and some other animal ruin it, spoil it or eat it, or bring the skin home, my mother tan it, and he use it for her. I remember she make mink skin coat for one of my sister, and one of them had, Ethel had tree squirrel. She have to tan all that, my mother. I think I'm the one that had mink skin coat, parka. And Ethel had a squirrel skin. When she was growing up, she's just lively, and they always say she's just like squirrel. You know how squirrel move around fast. And then my other sister had rabbit skin parka, and that was Selma, I think. And rabbit skin. Squirrel skin, mink skin. And she made a beaver skin parka too. I'll let she have the tan it first before she use it.
How would she tan her hides? What's the process?
I don't know how she tan it. She just, you know, like, well, those fur, you know, some of them, like if I tan marten skin, if I'm gonna make hat with it, I soak it in warm water with soapy water, and then soak it for a while till it's all dry, and then I take it out and rinse it out in clear water, and I hang it in a bathtub, and let all the water drain out from it. And when it's half dried, I work on it. So I guess that's what you do. But beaver skin is kind of hard to tan, you know. See, I got this from raw fur. I don't know where they send there. There's a tanning place in Fairbanks, but I think it costs lots. So we just tan our own stuff.
What kind of knife do you use to scrape it?
What knife? I have the scraper. My husband made a scraper. So I thought I had one in here, but
oh.
You just scrape it.
Do you stretch it out when you dry it, or after you scrape it, or no?
Mm-hmm.
You do?
Yeah. You have to go easy enough when you tan it. I thought I had a scraper in there, but I guess it's not there.
And when did you start sewing with dental floss?
Like I told you, when we were growing up, my father was working at the railroad. And I guess when they get paid, they go to the store or something. Always sending stuff to my mother. And one time I saw this dental floss. Well, he see my mother use Senu all the time. So he got that and sent it to her. Next thing I know, the whole town was using it for, instead of using those Senu. Senu is just a short little thing, you know, they make. And yeah, that was good though. I mean, it was good to use this. You keep talking to me, I'll never finish your boots.
I joke. So your dad was working at the railroad. Was that Fairbanks?
Uh-huh.
How long did he work there for?
Gee, I don't know. A lot of these old people from Fort Yukon, I guess those guys worked there. I don't know how long he worked though.
He'd go in and then come out. And how about when you bead and your beading patterns? Is it some? Is that, I know that the Gwich'in beading patterns are the tracks of the animals. Is that correct?
Beading thing?
Yeah, when you bead, the patterns are represent the patterns of the animal tracks.
No, I don't think so.
No. How do you make up your beading pattern, or how do you decide what you're going to bead, what it's going to look like?
I don't know. My mother had all these patterns. When she died, I just saved it. And I got a book. These they were selling at the university, I think. I bought a book. It's around here someplace. And I got another book that Catherine Peter used to work at the university. And she made this book. I don't know if she made it, but she was teaching them how she tan skin and all that. What all they have to do. It's all in there, and I got that book.
I better look for that book, huh?
Yeah. I got it around here someplace, but so much junk to look through, so.
Do you always bead the same patterns, or do you use new ones ever?
What was that?
Do you always do the same beading patterns, or do you ever do new ones?
Different kind.
Different.
I used to go down to Tanana Hospital to have my kids enough, and I had babies. When I go down there, I always bring my beads and take my beads down there and make different flower on those, whatever I'm sewing. And those downriver people, they do different design. So I told them how to do it now. The pattern they got is just like Fort Yukon. So when was it? Last year, I think. I went down to Anchorage. A couple years ago, when I went down to Anchorage, I liked to play bingo. Me and my niece, we went to play bingo. And then this one native girl come over to me. She said, Margaret, could you draw little flowers for me? She said, right at the bingo. And her mom is from Fort Yukon. And I said, you sow beets, I said, and she said, yeah, but I don't know how to make flowers or anything like that, she said. So I got over there and I got pencil and I went like this. Well, that's a flower we put on tongue. She said for tongue. I did that for her. Even, I tried to get away from sewing, I told her, you know. At home, I'm always sewing and go someplace in here. And then if I go Fairbanks, you know, I go play bingo and those women bring me sewing. They want me to buy it from them. Just can't get away from it. But sometimes it's good, you know, if I need work from them, if I want it, if I need it. I got lots of beads, but I just don't have the time to sew it. But I get somebody to sew for me sometimes. And I have to pay them too.
For the things that you make, do you usually only take money, or do you trade for other things from people?
Well, if somebody sold for me, I'd pay them. Got to pay them with money. But within a couple of years, I've been sewing mostly for my family and my grandkids, you know. I don't charge Georgie and them. Make her fur hat for her husband, glove and all that, you know. I don't charge her anything, just do it. Because she treats me good, so. On top of that, she's my daughter, so I can't charge her for anything. She took me to her Loretta one. I bought her picture over there. See the top one?
Mm-hmm.
Bottom one is Alyssa. Halloween, she dressed up. I couldn't even recognize you. I told her she gave me that picture. Yeah.
Do you remember Ivor Peterson's store?
Oh, yes. We used to go to that store. Had a big old-fashioned. It's still down there, you see it?
Mm-hmm.
He's always in there, and he was a good guy. He's a white guy. And he's married to Ruthie Gale's mother, and she's Eskimo, I guess, huh?
I thought she was Gutchin.
I don't know. They used to live
from Beaver. Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
I think she's from Beaver. I think Ruth was from Beaver.
Uh-huh. Well, Ivor used to live down there and trapping. And they had lots of kids. You know, girls and boys.
Mm-hmm.
Her wife is ready to have baby, even that she's... They're living out in the woods in a tent, they said. And they said he'd deliver all those kids. You ever talk to Ruthie Gale about that?
No, I'll have to ask her about that.
I don't know if she'll tell you, but you could want her to ask. Yeah, there's lots of story about him. And then they move up here. After they had all that kids, and he opened up a store down here and the house on this side. I don't know if he built that or bought it from somebody where Charlie stays now.
I read that he brought both the store and the building where Charlie stays now, that they were both the buildings in Circle, and he took them apart and brought them downriver.
Yeah, uh-huh, because somebody else did that too, you know. There's an old house up there, mm-hmm. and they brought that down from Eagle, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's up there yet. Nobody's living in there. Yeah, I think I hear that before, because he's always at the store, and his wife is over there, and she do sewing like this too, Ruth. I mean, you know, my mother.
Mm-hmm.
She's a pretty good person, good friend of mine. And she used to make these little baby booty with skin and sell it up store. I always think she sell it too high. Little baby boots with skin like this, and little flower here, and put little fur on the top, $45.
Well,
but then she sell it, and he haul wood too. All summer, that guy is always busy. He go out and haul wood, and he bring the wood in himself. He got this funny kind of snow going. He got big canvas around it, because, you know, keep the cold air out, I guess.
What sort of items do you remember at his store? What did he sell?
It's not like the store up here.
Not like the AC now.
Everything is just he got a bunch of shelf, but then, you know, you just don't stack those things up good. Everything is just mix. You want something, you gotta look around, he look for it. And he's always over at his store and eating out of cans stuff, they say. I mean, that's what people say. I think he died with cancer. They think that's how he died. Yeah, he was a hard-working guy.
He was always eating out of cans when you went in there?
Well, no, I mean, that's what people say. I didn't see him do that, but you don't have the time to go home and warm. Maybe they don't have a microwave those days. I don't know. That's the kind of life he had, you know, so.
Did you ever get any fur supplies from him or sewing supplies from him?
He don't sell fur, just canister.
He only sold canned things, didn't sell fur.
Yeah, he had lots of stuff, you know.
Do you remember him selling things for trappers? Like snares or traps?
Yeah,
or?
I think so, He got all kinds of stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I think he was selling wood too, I'm not too sure, but.
Ooh.
Ivor Peterson?
One time he had 100 cords down in his yard.
Yeah, he did it all by himself. You should go out and see his bridge, Ivor's bridge out there. He made that bridge by himself, huh? Cause he hauled wood, you know?
I didn't know his kids used to help him a long time ago.
Yeah, they call it Ivor's bridge. He made it, they said.
Where's that at?
They were gonna renew it this summer, but they did. I don't think he ever drank either. I know his wife did. One time I was at the store, she said, come over. Come over and sit with. Of course, I went over with her and that wooden house for Charlie's. Then I don't know, that's the same house, but anyway, when I went in there, she opened the cellar door and she climbed down there on the stair and brought half a gallon of home brew she made. She said it'd been in there for 1 month. So her and I, we had some of that. It was really clear home brew she made.
Oh, wow.
Well, this old man, he had 2 horses and he used to have a house out there. And Sammy found that after we moved down there. I mean, he found it in the dirt out there.
That's a really big horseshoe.
Yeah, he had 2 horses.
And that was the man who lived on this property before you lived here, had horses. How did people use horses in Fort Yukon? What'd they do with them?
Well, when we were growing up, you know, down there where liquor store is?
Mm-hmm.
Right across there, my mother and them used to live there. They had a cabin there. And behind us, behind their cabin, behind their cabin, there was old man living there, and he had 2 horses. He used to have big garden too. He got his own house there, and us, his mother and them back there, and they had a big garden. He had a brown horse and white horse, and he used a wagon. I remember my sister Zelma was just scared of those horses. Whenever she sees, I don't know why she's scared of them. She just cries, run in the house, but. I think that's where that thing came from, because there was a log house right here, over here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that site. And there was a cabin there when they gave me this ground. When I moved down here from up there, there was a cabin there, and I guess the door was open. I don't know, it's not locked, so these couple went in there and drank in there, and the house burnt down. So that's where that thing came from. I mean, he found that in a. He found it. What you call it? Horseshoe?
Yeah.
Piece of it broke off just like, huh? Is it? No.
I don't think it's broken, but it's.
I don't know what they did with those 2 horses. One is brown and one is white.
Do you remember horses in Fort Yukon, other horses when you were younger, growing up?
No, just those 2. Way later, these couple had 2 out. They